And I'm Chris.
And what do we do here at Record Night, Chris?
Record Night is where we pick a theme. We each bring a record based on that theme. And we talk about it. That's the podcast.
The show.
That's the show. And hey, man, if you want to get a hold of us, how can they do that?
Well, we're all over the internet on social media stuff that we probably don't check as often as we should. But we are on Instagram at Record Night Pod. We're on Facebook at Record Night. I believe we are on Twitter. I still refuse to call it X. Record underscore night, although I doubt we use that one very much.
No, man, but I feel like the way, good way to get publicity for a show is if I just goad Elon Musk to kick us off it.
Oh, yeah, sure. Go poke the bear. And then finally, we just have an old-fashioned email at recordnightpod@gmail.com. That's probably the easiest way to get a hold of us.
We're not getting mad if you use another way, but I prefer email because I'm an old man. Mm-hmm. You know,
if you know us personally, you can text us.
Oh, yeah, yeah, which is, I mean, I know a few fans of the show. They're just like one of my brother.
Yeah, my brother.
Yeah, and we just had just a little bit of that episode, so enjoy that, guys, if you haven't listened to it somewhere. We talk about, I need to ask you, my brother, I wanted to ask you if your brother likes Polyphia.
I think he sent me a couple of guitar videos of the main dude. Maybe
it's Polyphia? Is that what it is?
I say Polyphia.
Okay. And I think you guys both like Animals as Leaders, right? Or is it just your brother?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, the guitar stuff there, man. I'm like, I listen to Polyphia and I listen to End of the Leaders. I'm like, I'll never, ever, ever be as good as them at guitar.
Not with that attitude.
Not with that attitude. But, you know, we have a theme we're talking about today. And what is our theme today?
It's something along the lines of, like, out of our element or, you know, out of our wheelhouse.
Yeah, I forgot what I have.
Basically, I have just stuff that we felt, you know, maybe we didn't know enough about, or a music genre we haven't explored.
Something that we wouldn't necessarily seek out for ourselves.
Exactly.
Yeah, so we had to go deep into distasteful, not distasteful things, things we thought kind of sucked or we never look at, and may reevaluate our view on it. And so,
yeah. Or maybe it solidified our view on it.
That's why we do the show, right? And so I'm gonna see what I brought, but then we'll go into yours. I brought Little Peeps, When You Come Over When You're Sober, Part One. But Ryan, what did you pick?
I picked Taylor Swift's Evermore.
Oh my god.
No, finally happening. I know. Talking about Taylor Swift.
I want to mention this real quick. You know how Taylor Swift's dating a Chiefs player?
Oh, yeah. I did hear about that.
All of Kansas City is acting like they're dating Taylor Swift. All of Kansas City. I'm not. But everyone, like, you go there and they're like, yeah, he's dating Taylor Swift. I'm like, you're not dating Taylor Swift. Why the fuck do you care?
One of the most famous people in the world.
She's like one of the last true superstars, man, really. Mm-hmm. Like, she's bigger than, like, you know, you could say. She's fucking bigger than I'm just picking some Lizzo. She's probably
she's bigger than Jesus.
Oh no,
that's my Beatles.
Oh yeah, that was your Beatles impression. That's a good one, dude. I don't know why. But she's right now. She's bigger than Beyonce. Like, I know that next Friday, when I go to the theater, it'll just Swifties everywhere going to see that Eras concert film.
Are you guys doing that movie for the show?
No.
Well, you should.
Here's the thing. It's Halloween, right? Or Halloween spooky time. And so we're doing horror films, but, you know, maybe if we went there, it'd be like our funny horror film. We went to see this. But I think Leah wants to see it. She's not a Swiftie, but she wants to put their cultural zeitgeist. Or, you know, like, sometimes you're talking with someone and they're like, yeah, I saw this movie and talking about it, and you don't know what they're talking about because you haven't seen that thing or watched that TV program.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's in that sort of thing where she wants to be able to talk about it with people. And now I know at least an hour of Taylor Swift's music, so I'll know some of it when I see it.
I doubt she plays any of these songs at that concert, though.
Oh, yeah, that's true. But you know what? What you picked Evermore, what do you know about, I mean, off the top of your head, because everyone knows who Taylor Swift is, mm-hmm. but do you have any deep knowledge on her?
No. Okay. Not really. I'm just everything I've learned from her about her. I've learned mostly against my will. But there. So when I was deciding this, I was picking between because I was trying to like I wanted to give myself the best chance at liking Taylor Swift. Yeah, I didn't want to approach this being super cynical. And being like, I'm going to pick something that sucks just so I can tear it apart. The reason I picked this and why I felt out of my element is I felt like I just didn't get it. It's like Taylor Swift fans, this will probably come back to bite us. They're part of kind of like crazy fandoms. They've kind of turned me off to Taylor Swift. They're the Tool fans of pop music.
Yeah, they are. They are the worst. And I'm sorry, Swifties, if you're listening. I doubt you are. Or you are going to send us hate mail saying we're unfair and we're haters. But you guys need to chill the fuck out. There'll be some criticism layered at Taylor Swift. And I know she's great. I know she's nice. And she gave her, her people, people worked for her, crazy ass bonuses for helping her. And I'm sure she's a really nice. Yeah, that was really cool shit. And I know for a fact that she is a good person, at least outwardly and done by actions. But chill out. We're going to talk about her and we hope. We're not going to hope. We're just going to say what we're saying. You guys hate us. You can stop listening to the show, I guess.
Just. As a person who doesn't know anything about Taylor Swift, except what comes through pop culture, I probably know her as well as a Swiftie. An odd parasocial relationship happening that I think Taylor Swift is she's really smart at and good at making money. And I think she plays into the parasocial relationship quite a bit. But it does kind of get a lot of her fans thinking, Taylor's my best friend, and she's sending me codes in her music. Charles Manson, Helter Skelter kind of shit sometimes. Yikes, guys.
I also think she's trying to legit... I mean, she didn't have to legitimize herself. She's one of the biggest pop stars ever. Mm-hmm. But
I was going to say, Taylor Swift does not want nor need my validation or my acceptance.
But she definitely wants it because of the things people she's worked with, or at least when it comes to indie rock, right? But you know what? We'll get into that actually. Mm. But we're talking about Taylor Swift's Evermore.
Evermore. So the reason I went after this one is I did do some research on the albums, and there's a pair of albums. There's Folklore and Evermore, and they're kind of supposed to be these talking about folklore, maybe some more kind of fantasy elements, woodsy, cabiny, autumn vibes, more experimental.
Yeah.
And that's why I went with these Evermore. I tried Folklore and was a little disappointed that it didn't do all the things I wanted. So I came into this one with kind of without those expectations, but also reading that this is the more experimental of the two.
All right, man. So we're going to play a sampler Ryan put together of Evermore, and then we're going to talk about it. So we'll see you guys in just a second.
Alrighty. The more that you say, the less I know. What a shame she's fucked in the head, they said. But you'll find the real thing instead. She'll patch up your tapestry that I've shred. Stay alive, don't grow up that beautiful. With your hair falling into place like dominoes.
tolerate it. Somebody's gotta catch him out, cause I think he did it, but I just can't prove it. Dabbled with the flickers of light from the dress I wore at midnight. Leave it all behind when there is happiness. Off your mom and her pageant schemes. At a gold clock, did I leave you hanging every single day?
Were you standing in the hallway with a big cake? Happy birthday.
Oh, I can't stop you putting roots in my dreamland. My house of stone, your ivy grows, and now I'm covered in you. It takes one to climbed right back up the cliff. Long story short, I survived.
Taylor Swift's Evermore. Ouch.
Okay, so...
The sound of me hitting my elbow. That wasn't the music.
Okay, that was amazing in my ears. First off, I want to mention that Evermore, 11 of the songs were co-written with Aaron Dessner of a band I love called The National.
Mm-hmm.
I don't love the new record that great, but that's a new year. I love some National records. And so when Ryan picked this, this is something also I kind of stay away from. Ryan Pitt is like, okay, I get to finally see all the money he's making. Right? Why he's making all this money. Evermore. So we all know that Taylor Swift is probably one of the biggest pop stars right now, at least on the planet. Like she just did.
I mean, probably ever.
Yeah, right? Okay, you want to say that? Okay, that's fair. I'll take that. I'll level that. And also, she did write some tracks, like one or two, with Jack Antonoff, who is Jack Antonoff. Yeah, he was part of the Bleachers. He was part of Fun, and now he's behind the scenes writing and producing. He's my fucking everyone. And I can tell the difference. I can tell when he, I can tell on this record. I knew that. I hear the songs, right? I hear the songs, and then I'll phase out Taylor's voice in the lyrics, and I'm like, okay, this is obviously a National song with just a National song that, you know, Aaron just kept to away from them, because a lot of the songs in here have the same sort of feeling.
Like, I wonder if that's why, because I'm looking at, like, the features on here,
mm-hmm.
and... It's like, if there were three bands I had to pick that were, like, kind of the most popular of trying to capture kind of that fall indie folk vibe, it would be Haim, it would be The National, and it would be Bon Iver. Like,
yeah, so,
those are the three people you get when you want to make an album that kind of sounds like this.
Yeah, and I like The National quite a bit. Aaron Dessner being part of The National with his brother Bryce, and Matt Berninger. I'm going to say his name a lot, too. And Bon Iver. Bon Iver, I think it's way better. I'm going to go with that.
Well, it's French. It's French for good winter.
Oh, thank you, sir. I like that. Thank you for teaching me. And then Haim, if you guys don't know who Haim is, that's fine, because you also see Licorice Pizza, and Alana Haim of Haim is the main girl in Licorice Pizza. You seen that yet?
No, I didn't have any interest.
My wife hates it. but for different reasons. I mean, I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah. Anyway, so Taylor Swift Evermore. I am happy to report I came out of this liking at least three Taylor Swift songs.
I'm had to come out saying that I okay, so right away, before I have an immense respect for Taylor Swift as a person and for the things I think she's trying to do. Mm-hmm. And I can come out of this saying I like at least four or five songs that were a bit different on this one. But there are songs in here that sound exactly the same as one another. Mm-hmm. And there are also songs in here that sound like they just make basically songs in here that influence Olivia Rodrigo, where Olivia probably lifted at least one song in here almost exactly the same.
Oh, really? I'm interested to see which one that is.
Because Olivia goes, oh, this is Taylor Swift. After hearing that, I'm like, she's like, I thought it was Olivia Rodrigo. Because I thought the same thing. And by the way, guys, I'm going to go ahead and say it. I'm going to admit it to people right now. I think I like her. I think I like Olivia Rodrigo.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, her New York is fucking tour, dude. It's not bad. I'm at least everything I've heard. I haven't developed myself to listen to it so I can. It's just hard, man. Mm-hmm. But Evermore, so like overview thoughts of this, what are your thoughts?
I like it. It's pretty good. I think it's a good album.
Okay.
But it's one of those good albums that kind of frustrates me,
mm-hmm,
by how close it is to being like a great album.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm with you.
I think at its core, it has this really good idea of just, you know, being trying to capture that fall foresty vibe and really diving into kind of like fantasy and folklore. But, you know, she's stuck in her own like writing style. It's like every song's kind of about a relationship. A few of the songs on here, I think, are kind of ruined by pop sensibilities, where it's like she's throwing a hook in there, and
there's one song in here that I really like that has an interesting structure, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's one song I fucking hate. Yeah. I can't stand it. and I don't know why it's on here, but I'm sure a favorite of Swifties everywhere. Mm-hmm. because you know, it's hard not to know that Taylor Swift started playing country music as she, and then she did a record with had like a pop song on it, and she's like, wow, this comes to me way more naturally than the country they're forcing me into. And so she went in, and now she's a straight pop star, which, mm-hmm,
we'll talk about that track, because I've got an idea of maybe what she was trying to do, and it does kind of fit, I think, the theme, like what she's going for. Okay. I think a lot of it is a little too bogged down in doing kind of like relationship stuff when there could be other more interesting things explored. It leans a little too poppy, which I, you know, it's hard to complain about it with her being like a pop artist, but there are songs on here where she does it really well, and it proves that she doesn't need the crutch of having something like really catchy. Or it can be catchy without kind of having these pop sensibilities.
And I do think having Dessner help her write these songs probably reined her in a little bit when it comes to doing that. I'm the type of person that you and I think you and I are the same way. If we listen to a band, we don't want other writers digging their hands into our band's music. We want the band to do it. And Taylor Swift's not that way. Every pop star has writers for them, or they co-write stuff. And real quick, before we get into that, I want to mention that Blink-182, most of the songs on the new record, they co-wrote with someone else outside of the band.
Mm-hmm. Which I don't think is... Show. Honestly, I don't... I'm so beyond the point of, like, super caring about that. Oh. Like...
Okay.
Because it's like, good music is good music. Yeah. At the end of the day. But I guess I want the good music to be, make kind of these bigger, like, artistic
You want things. Authenticity.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
Okay.
It is weird that, like, I guess my first interaction of knowing about, like, Taylor Swift was someone telling me, like, well, she writes her own music, so she's the best artist ever. And it's like, that is a very low bar.
Yeah.
Like, most fans write their own music. Yeah. And, but, like, I mean, I guess I get it now. Most, like, people in her space, like, her level of, like, fame and stuff don't.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is a rare thing for kind of bigger pop stars. But,
I know that Father John Misty sold one of his songs to Beyonce. You know, mm-hmm. and he said it was the most demoralizing thing he's ever done in his life, which is crazy. But you want to talk? Let's talk about Evermore. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about track by track by it. You ready to do that?
Yeah.
Let's start with Willow, the opening track.
I will say every song title is stylized as all entirely like lowercase letters.
Yeah, because that's cool. I did go on Genius to make sure I was listening to the lyrics correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I do know about the song is that Tay-Tay picked this song because the riff that Aaron wrote for this sounded witchy and magical. I don't know about that. Did it sound witchy or magical to you?
I mean, maybe a little bit.
Yeah, maybe a
little bit. Like, I think, again, it's going to be one of those that it's like, it can sound witchy and magical and whatever, but like if you're not engaging with the way something sounds, you know, through the lyrics or singing or whatever, you kind of miss the mark. But I feel like I would have, this is more kind of like pop folk. And I feel like I would have respected this track a little bit more if there wasn't like a beat drop.
Yeah.
Like, at a certain point, like, it just kind of starts picking up and the, you know, the pop sensibilities kind of start coming back in.
End of it, it sounds something at the beginning, which is...
Yeah, by the third verse, I think I really came around to it. Like, I was, you know, kind of writing my live thoughts as it was happening, and I, you know, when we started off, I was like, oh, fuck, what did I get into? And then, you know, by the end, I'm kind of, like, bopping along with it, and I'm like, oh, yeah. Shit, there might be something here.
And there's a hook in it, you know, like, I follow that part in there. Like, there's a hook in Willow. And, guys, I'm not immune to hooks. I don't think you are either. Sometimes
this shit's been stuck in my head all day.
Yeah, yeah. I listened to it, like, 3 times a day. Not because for the show. I don't think I would have chosen it just on my own accord, especially on the next record. But this song, it's a beast. It's a good song. I like Willow quite a bit. And going into this, I'm like, okay, this won't be as painful as I thought it'd be.
Yeah, and that's... Yeah, I was like, oh, maybe this won't be as painful, and then I, you know, genuinely liked some of the songs here. I just kind of really found myself appreciating it more, and I think, you know, kind of letting go of some of my expectations for it, and, you know, not putting my idea for this record on such a pedestal.
Yeah.
Probably helped a little bit too.
Yeah. Because, you know, people love this record. I don't know how much it will compare to all your new stuff, but we picked this one was picked because we thought it was the best entry point.
Yeah. I'm very curious. I would maybe need to pick a Swiftie's brain and be like, what do you think of Evermore? Cause I'm approaching this as somebody who knows, you know, jack shit about her music.
Yeah. Do you know any Swifties?
A couple. Okay. It's so weird because, like, people who are, like, super, super, super Swifties are pretty regularly some of the worst people I know. But then people who are kind of, like, casual Swifties who are like, yeah, you know, I like all of her stuff and I'll go see her in concert.
Yeah, yeah.
Are always some of, like, the nicest people. Like, I feel like there's a level of Swiftiedom that you reach, and beyond that line are just the most garbage people.
So I went to Mills Record Company the day after she played 2 shows in Kansas City. Mm-hmm. And I went the day after her first show to Mills Record Company. And there's a dude in there who came in decked out in Taylor Swift gear, like t-shirt, I think like pants even. And Yeah, I was like, oh yeah, she did play here last night, didn't she? and he was going in buying Taylor Swift vinyl because they were out of it at some of the shows.
Wow, that's crazy.
And if I knew I was going to be talking about it now, I might have stopped him, and he would probably more than glad to talk to me about Taylor Swift. Mm-hmm. But I'd be like, what's your thoughts on Evermore? And I would have been like, he said it was great. I'm like, elaborate, what's great about it? And then after that, he might have been like, well, what's there not to like about it? He might, but the casual fans would probably be able to let you talk a little bit, you know? So I don't know any Swifties. Maybe I do, but if they do, they don't know about me talking about today. And so I don't know. I don't know if I know any Swifties.
I'll have to see if I know anybody and yeah pick their brain about it.
Oh, my dogs are screaming for some reason.
Yeah.
What's the deal? Hey, stop it. Leave it alone. Stop it. Come on. Okay. They're whenever they fight or play, they sound like a bear. It sounds like a bear fight.
Oh, my God.
So, honey, goddamn. Come here. You can't squeeze this on the mic here. Come here. I will see if she leaves.
Let's move on to Champagne Problems.
This is the song that was lifted straight, like Demi Olivia Rodrigo lifted the song from the record and made Driver's License, by the way.
Oh, shit. Sounds, I might need to listen to them back to back.
Yeah, and there's a song on the Olivia Rodrigo record has co-writing for Taylor Swift, but as we can discover, a lot of stuff is co-written because she basically lifted shit and they got permission from the artist to say, hey, this song was almost exactly the same.
Yeah, exactly.
And so Champagne Problems sounds like Olivia Rodrigo ripped this off of her to do Driver's License. Really only the piano part, not the lyrics part, are different.
Mm-hmm.
But I dig this song.
This is where I kind of started to really appreciate the production on here, because they mic'd the piano in a way that it sounds really like chunky and clunky. Like she found this like, yeah, like it sounds like an old piano, like in your parents' house, your grandparents' house, or something.
It does. It almost like you hear the creak of the piano bench almost.
And then there's other instruments. I really like how subdued a lot of the instruments are on here, where it's just like you'll have like strings or something just like really buried in the background, kind of. Enforcing the chords, doing stuff with the mood and stuff, but they're so like out of focus that it's pretty easy to just not notice them.
Yeah, and it's cool because Aaron did a really good job with that. I think Aaron Dessner it's not so secret, but he produced most of these tracks, like produced more than he wrote, and this is one of the songs that he co-wrote and produced, and you can really tell that, like you're saying, the production on this is pretty stellar. And this song is, like you said, a great example of it. Because also, it also enforces the vibe, like kind of woodsy, kind of like hidden, even.
Nostalgic.
There's a lot of nostalgia.
I got a little nostalgia so from this one.
And this song, if we were to talk about this is the first song that's really kind of about something to me. It's basically, I don't know if it's Taylor, but this guy is planning this woman to ask him to marry him, and she says she's not ready. And it's not his fault; it's her fault, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. And she says a four coordinate, but and they mentioned mental illness a bit. But I'm not a pop dude knowing like shit about this. But is that like kind of like, a different subject to have this basically this a singer saying she's a shitty person for not wanting to marry this guy?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, is that a different subject? I don't know. But to me, I thought I actually dig this little ballad because it's not. A lot of the stuff is fucking depressing, which is great. I love that. A lot of the stuff is not like uplifting or powerful.
There's not really like. Most of the songs are about relationships, but none of them are like. It doesn't seem like any of them are currently like good relationships.
And none of them are loves. This is not a love song on this record, unless you're talking like a family member. You know what I mean?
Right,
like
exactly.
Yeah, and so like these are about relationships, how they went wrong, or whether losing steam, rather, why they're not together anymore, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And there's also songs in here that follow some sort of made-up universe, made in folklore, like the love triangle and these people who don't know. But I'm looking at this as you, as a songwriter, as you are and as am I, we write about what we know mostly, right?
Mm-hmm.
And since this is not sci-fi or or, you know, whatever other things that we know about, this is this seems to be pretty close to what she may experience. And also, Taylor's life has, since she's been a star, has been amplified by the public. Everyone's seen who she's dating, who she's hanging out with, and things that have happened to her. And as much as you and I try to avoid it, we can't. It's just, we are through cultural osmosis. We know approximately who she's been with, like, or in the shit that's happened to her, because we can't not. It's just there.
Right. But this is where I was talking about earlier, that she plays into, I think, that parasocial relationship where, like, it feels like she's revealing gossip, basically, when you start to hear these things, because she doesn't say that they're not true stories or something like that. So you go, oh, I bet she's talking about Taylor Lautner. I bet she's talking about Jake Gyllenhaal. John Mayer, stuff like that. And I guess it drives
Swifties nuts about it too. They talk about people I've never heard of, and they're like, oh yeah, it's probably on this model. I'm like, what the fuck are they talking about? How the fuck would they know that? And why does it matter?
Because Taylor Swift is sending them codes, Da Vinci Code style.
I can't imagine what it must be like to be her. Like, she's not had a normal life since she's become famous, you know?
No, and people go crazy. Like, I saw pictures not too long ago of her, like, trying to eat at a restaurant. And people, like, weren't even trying to, like, meet her or anything, but they, like, hundreds of people surrounded this restaurant just to, like, stare at her.
How fucking awful must that be? Like, it must be hard, dude. I can't imagine. Because right now, like I know she has, everyone must think she has the best life, but I guarantee you, no one wants to be that famous. No one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe you won't be that rich. I don't know how rich she is. I don't know what she's spending. I don't know what her spending habits are like, or if we can recommend these are per diem, you know? But I can guarantee you, I'd want to be able to eat at a sushi restaurant and not get mobbed by people while I'm in there, or, you know, while I'm leaving. I don't want at all. It sounds I also know that she's had issues with the body image, and I know she had an eating disorder because of the people were saying things were saying about her. When you're a teenager, and it's hard not to take in the criticism on some level, you know? It's hard to not be affected by it. But, you know, back to Champagne Problems, it's a good song. This is probably one of my favorite songs on the record.
This one was one of the ones specifically that was stuck in my head all day.
Yeah, yeah.
And I will say, swinging back around to Taylor Swift being, you know, genius with some of the stuff she does, this Taylor's version thing that she's doing with her old albums is so fucking smart.
Yeah, she's basically retaking all her music back, right?
Instead of negotiating and buying the stuff back, she's just re-recording the songs.
Yeah.
So she owns those now, and which is just, like, which not is doing anything with the old versions.
Yeah, which is cool. She's, like, finally doing something for herself. Like, she got signed when she was 14. She's like, well, fuck it, this is my music, I'm going to take it back. Which is great. I'm all about that. Honestly, that's smart as fuck. And I respect that highly.
Yeah.
Both you and I know major music, well, even some indie labels, but major music labels are so parasitic and they're awful to their artists. That when you sign, you're like, well, here's this little asterisk here where we can basically dip our money, a hand in your pocket, and steal money away from you. And so, yeah, so good on her for doing this Taylor's version, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But
anyway, Gold Rush.
Which is a song I could tell was not by Aaron Dessner. I could tell that just by rewriting it, because one, there's no minor notes in here. But it's a cool song because that's a pretty interesting structure. There's no real chorus to it. I mean, kind of. But it has a sort of cinematic flying feeling. It opens up, right?
Yeah, I thought it had like an EDM pop style, but it's using mostly kind of like organic instruments.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it, dude. That's a real good way to put it.
And this is one of the ones that you first kind of start to get the hint at more of like a folklore theme. Mm-hmm. And it's not really like about folklore, but it is kind of like mentioned in passing.
Yeah, and this song, if you're going to talk about like maybe what it's about Taylor being into someone, but then not wanting to be in it because everyone wants this person, right? Like, everyone wants to be with this person. So she's like, yeah, I'm good. like, I don't need to, I don't, but again, the songs in here aren't super deep when it comes to lyrics. Like, there's just, you know, it's all of it's about some sort of relationship.
Yeah.
Which is good if you're like a person who preoccupies yourself with that sort of thing. But I'm in a pretty serious relationship. I think you are. I imagine you are. Mm-hmm. So I get it. But this is like about jealousy, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's a good song though. Like you're saying, the genius of it, it just opens up the song. It felt like we hit a patch of woods that opened up, open sky. And blue, and it's gorgeous, and you see birds flying. It's nice, but this is a song that I don't. It's not definitely not my favorite song on the record, but it definitely changes up a bit, you know.
Yeah. And we got "Tis the Damn Season,"
yeah, which is, and the mostly the only thing I have to say about the song is it's about like going back to your hometown when you're famous, and getting back with another lover, I guess.
I saw it as she's going back to her, she's back in her hometown while her lover like kind of like didn't go with, like they're in like this like twilight of this old relationship, and she's kind of like, you know, sitting in a cold car thinking about, you know, the paths they could have taken. You know, there's kind of this interesting like warm versus cold kind of thing going on. Yeah, it's an interesting one. This one lyrically felt a little more poetic.
Mm-hmm.
And the production had some really interesting like percussion going on. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, it also paints things like a park between the Methodists and the school that used to be ours. Everyone has an idea of what their hometown looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And this, and so it's in the conjure up where you grew up, you know. And this takes place in the fall or maybe the winter because it's about the holiday and there's like bad perfume. And on the front, if you look at the record, Taylor Swift is wearing like a coat.
He's wearing a sweater, right? Basically.
Yeah, a sweater. Which it's about to be sweater weather here. Do you get that in LA? Sweater weather?
We do, but it's typically like you hit like winter.
Okay.
Like I was working in Pasadena last week in the middle mm-hmm. of fall, and it was 100 degrees.
Fuck, man.
I know, I was dying.
Well, I mean, I went down to Texas then in September, and it was 900 degrees there. And I was like, I don't, you know, I'm looking at my KC weather, and it says 73. I'm like, God, I wish I was home.
Yeah.
I mean, I like to see my family. I'm not saying that. I was like, man, the weather there is so much nicer.
Yeah.
But it's going to be shitty when we get that polar vortex and it's negative. Went outside. I remember one of the first times you come hang out at my place, it was 1 degree outside. And I was like, man, it's going to be shitty to drive here. but you made it. Thanks, dude.
I did make it.
Yeah. And that was, as you know, the emphasis for record night. But anyway, here we are. Chorus of this is. It's kind of interesting, talking about like I'm in the town for the weekend. I'm hanging with my family, but you know, maybe we can rekindle this thing we got going on just for this time I'm home.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a cool song. It's but again, it sounds like a lot of this record. You know, like,
yeah, the record's pretty like consistent with the way it sounds.
Yeah. And this is the song where I actually wrote down the notes. I go, this girl's a legit superstar. You know, like, this is Hey Boomer, what we had. But, yeah, this, it's a cool song, I guess. It's not something I really think about, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But we wanted to tolerate it. And this song is very sad, you know? Mm-hmm. But it's the first song I thought was, like, you take away Taylor's voice and Taylor's words. I can imagine Matt Berninger, the National, singing this. That's the first thing I thought when I heard this song.
Is the National just Taylor Swift for dudes then?
It must. Well, people call it sad dad music, which I'm not a dad, but I am sad, so I like it a lot.
Sad boy clicker. I like the production on this one too, because you get kind of the organic, soft sounding piano,
and there's a lot of that.
With some of this, like, electronic drums that, like, they don't mix, they don't mesh super well together. Yeah. But I think maybe it's just being, you know, kind of representative of this relationship that's not, you know, she's trying to be kind of more warm and human, I guess, and he's cold.
She's trying to basically get this, like, she's with it, somehow she can... the other relationship, but didn't really seem to like her that much. Like,
yeah, like, she loves him, and he's kind of like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, which I can't imagine that to me. Mm-mm. I can't imagine, like, fanning off my wife with a flame. Like, get away from me. Like, yeah. Like every time that, like, she does something awesome, I'm so happy for her.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I'm not talking about a shitty. That's not.
I'm but trying who to is this song about?
Yeah, yeah. So it's about a relationship where she doesn't feel appreciated. And mm-hmm. she does everything she can in her power to get what she wants. And, you know, like, she's not getting it back, which is, you know, shitty. I'm sure everyone's felt that way in some aspect in their mm-hmm. life, whether it be a relationship or, you know, your parents or your teacher or a friend even. In this song, when we talk about the production, you were talking about how it sounds great, the production of this. And I want to bring this up a little because... there, like you said, there's electronic sounds in the background. I do think that Aaron's made a message to have some sort of sonic landscape to put the song on. Mm-hmm. You know? Like, which I think is... I mean, they did that with plenty of records, but there's always something in the background, even if it's not incredibly apparent. Like, you can hear stuff drops out. And I think that's a real smart thing to do.
Yeah, the beat, like, just, like, rumbles underneath mm-hmm. this, which I thought was a really cool choice.
And I really like Tolerate It. That's a song I generally like, too. Like, mm-hmm. this song's good all around. The lyrics and all that. I have no problems with it whatsoever, actually. I got to tell you, man, each time I listen to the two records duet, too, I think I like them a little bit more than I did the first time. Except for
both of them?
Okay, well, when we talk to the second one, I have... things to say about that we'll talk about it, but when we get there. But this song, Tolerate It, it's a pretty good song.
Mm-hmm.
And like lines in this, like, took this dagger in me and removed it, gained a way of you then lose it. I think there are a lot of lines in this I really like. This record, like you said, it's poetic. She writes good songs, or, you know, has good people around her to make these songs pretty good, and this is a good song.
Mm-hmm.
And Tolerate.
I agree.
Okay.
But let's actually move on to the best song on this album.
Dude, I cannot fucking stand Nobody, No Crime. And it sounds like a Carrie Underwood song, you know?
I thought it sounded like a 90s, like, radio hit. Like a Shania Twain would sing this song or something.
Yeah, and it's... And if you ask people... As you asked Taylor Swift was about, she said it's about investigative crime, and, like, apparently she's really into Forensic Files and, you know, those podcasts that people listen to.
Somebody had to ask Taylor Swift what this song means. It's a narrative song.
Yeah.
It's pretty obvious what it's about.
Yeah, so she brings in people like the dude, the lady from Haim, and it's a song about, you know, about killing someone's husband, right?
Yeah, like, this song's weird because I feel like sonically it's very out of place on this album.
Yeah, and I can't stand it. That's the thing I hate most about the song. It's because it sounds like a country song. And and I know Taylor Swift, I know she's sing country, but this is the worst type of country. I'm going to say right now. Like, it sounds like you said, radio hit. It sounds like stadium country. And I can't stand that shit. It makes me want to. I think I'd rather listen to Polk than have to listen to stadium country for a day. You know? I think
thematically, though, it fits.
Okay.
And I'm wondering if this was kind of my theory on it, is that somewhere along the line, somebody like kind of threw out this idea of doing like a Nick Cave's murder ballads kind of thing. Like, what if you write, you know, something about like killing somebody, committing a crime, doing something like that, and then this is kind of what came of it, but. Yeah, I mean,
they're referring themselves in third man, like first person, like you're talking about Esty, who is Esty Haim, who's in Haim, and then they mentioned Olive Garden, which apparently Olive Garden was really happy to mention her, because apparently that like people going there. I've been to Olive Garden recently. It was strange. I hadn't been there in years. Mm-hmm. Immediately, we were just looking for somebody, you know, like so Olive Garden. It was like Labor Day weekend. It was so packed. But besides that, Olive Garden. Olive Garden was thankful that Taylor Swift mentioned it because they noticed a bump in their attendance after this record came out.
That is bananas. That she has so much power just to. She said to say all. She didn't even say anything about Olive Garden except that Esty wasn't there.
You would just send an email saying, and I listened to record and I went to sleep or something, and people would just. We get a bus bump in our. I mean, I stopped looking at our stacks a long time ago. I stopped because I used to listen to them all the time. I'm like, I'm not doing this for anyone. I'm doing this to have fun, time on music. So I stopped looking at the stats for both podcasts I do. I don't know how many we downloaded, if anyone's listening, but it doesn't matter to me. But yeah, again, the song itself, I can't stand it. I will skip it. I've almost skipped it, but again, talking about the narrative of this record, where it goes, I feel like I had to listen to it as a whole because it's record.
I don't think it matches with kind of the rest of the album. Like, it feels very out of place.
The music itself. Yeah, you're totally right.
I didn't like. I don't know. It's probably the worst track on here. And I think it the music of it kind of lacks the. Maybe like the menace that the lyrics require. Like, sounds like this kind of like happy, fun, almost like girl boss song.
Like a jaunty kind of over here, it sounds like it's trying to be menacing, but in the way it does that, it loses menace. You know what I mean?
Or it's saying something pretty menacing. Like, I mean, guy's cheating on his wife, guy kills wife. She kills guy, and it's like all of that. It's like there's some messed up stuff happening, but yeah, it's kind of written in this like triumphant, aren't we cool kind of way
for killing this man who cheated on his
girl. We're missing, you know, the first two verses in there where he also killed somebody.
Yeah, definitely.
It felt like there was like a disconnect.
I have a question for you also. There's a lot of time. And I think this is true of all pop music, where if it's a lady pop musician who I guess identifies as straight, she'll use the term "my man." I don't think I'd ever want Lee to call me that.
Man. I don't know. I don't think I'm into that either.
Yeah, like for example, I've heard talk about saying refer to me as Lee's man, and I'm like, I'm her spouse. I don't think you need to call me her man. That's really possessive in a way. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it almost sounds like, you got like a guy for something. Like, oh yeah, I've got I've got a mechanic guy. I've got a tire guy. So I've got a man. Yeah, and I've got a dude.
Yeah. So I, not that I have a problem with people identifying me as male. It's just, I wouldn't want. No reason to call me your man. She's calling me her husband, which I'm fine with, because that's who I am. Her spouse or her partner, that's fine. But her, someone call me their man. It's just weird to me. But again, it's not like if I was with someone, it would say me and Leah broke up. Don't see happening. If we did, and I'm dating someone, and she's talking to someone on the phone, so I'm with my man right now. I would definitely comment on it, but it wouldn't be a deal breaker. But it, now, it'd be weird. But that happens all throughout pop music. People call it referring to their significant other as my man, which is.
I just go with my wife.
My wife. yeah. Louise gave me three of those that I can reuse when in her presence. So,
Anyway, happiness.
which is a song about a relationship that's basically over, but remembering the happy times that happened. And if you guys don't know, I believe happiness is fleeting. It's only there for a moment in everything. And sometimes it's more prevalent than others, but this song is about trying to find the happiness in a fucked up relationship that didn't work out. Right?
I got more from it, like, she's saying, like, you can move on from somebody. Like, you don't need to tie all your happy, like, what you think happiness is up in a person. Like, happiness, you'll be happy again. That kind of thing. Because she's talking about how she's different. She hasn't met the new her yet. You know, it's almost like looking back on happiness, you know, time she was happy, but that doesn't necessarily mean that she won't ever be happy again. Like, it's not mutually exclusive.
Yeah, and this falls into the same woozy sort of the national with Taylor Swift vocals and lyrics thing I like the national quite a bit, so I'm not bitching about that too much.
I wrote in my notes, though, I said, like, all right, I think I'm just tired of relationship songs now.
Yeah.
Like, on this record, on any record, it's just, I feel like every time I listen to an album now, it's like 80 to 90% of the songs are about that. It's like, God damn it. sing about something else.
I wrote down for the lyrics, strings, piano, and something weird. Because there's strings, piano, and something else I can't quite place. Something like woodwind or something like that. I can't tell.
Maybe.
Which is great. But again, the sonic landscape that Aaron builds on to record a song, it's there. And it makes the song better than average, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's about fucking... it's about fucking relationships, because that, and guys, just so you know, that's like all the shit is. like two or three songs may fall different, but this is what Taylor Swift fans, I guess, that's what they expect, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a ton of this. Did you like Happiness, though, as a song itself? Were you fine with it?
It was all right. There's two songs on here I'll talk about when we get to them, like, specifically that I think are like a head above the rest.
Okay.
But yeah, it was good.
It's one of Dorothea, which is, guys, Dorothea, and I'm not a Swiftie, so I wouldn't know, but apparently this girl, Dorothea, the character of the song, exists in another song, like, I think of folklore in the same sort of Taylor Swift universe. And I only know this because Genius told me so, and I don't think... I mean, it lies to me all the time, but they were able to pinpoint some way. But this is, like, not told from the view of Dorothea, right?
Not from the view of Dorothea. It's talking about Dorothea.
Yeah, Dorothea apparently came out to become a big, big star, and this is a song about someone who used to know her back when she was, you know, back when she was a normal kid, you know?
Mm-hmm. Like, I think it's still written from, you know, Taylor's perspective. It's just two people who used to know each other and be friends who kind of, like, separately became successful, doing different things. And she's
your queen
kind
selling
of...
dreams, some makeup and magazines.
Mm-hmm.
This song is weird because it's got a jaunty sort of, like, feel to it. Did you get that too?
No, it felt a little melancholic to me.
Okay, I mean, yeah, but like
maybe
to me,
nostalgic.
Like, yeah, it picked up though. It had a driving force to it. I guess the best way to put it, like it seemed like a lot of these songs seemed really amoebic and the sort of not like trudging along, but they feel like they're just sort of there. This one seemed like it's moving somewhere. Not that that's a good or bad thing, just that I felt like it had more of a skeleton than a lot of these songs.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a bad song. In fact, I'd go as far as say I like this song.
I think the best thing I can say about this song has to do with the lyrics, and it makes me want to dig into the real life drama. Like, who's this about? I want to be in the know, like a true Swiftie.
Oh, you can maybe call up in your Swiftie and say, like, hey, I have some questions.
Yeah, who's Dorothea about?
Yeah. Is there pictures of her? I want to know. But, yeah, like, a lot of this, he creates his character, and you want to know more about this character, which is cool. That's what good songs should do. They should make you want to know more about whatever. And this is where, yeah, Dorothea.
Pretty good, you know, just kind of reflecting back on, like, the simpler relationship they had when they were younger, but now they're kind of, like, both successful and separate and have, like, drifted apart, but she's still kind of remembering this, like, you know, simple friendship that they used to have.
Yeah. You want to move on to Coney Island?
Coney Island with The National.
Yeah, featuring The National. Taylor Swift with The National, so.
So does this one have just, like, a full band playing on it?
I guess, yeah, it does. I mean, it sounds like a National song.
Yeah, that's what it felt like. I felt like it kind of had a different energy, like she's playing with a full band. And I was thinking, like, maybe this is an idea she should explore. Like, have a, you know, like a band be her backing up.
Yeah, and so band. I like this song quite a bit because I love The National. But one of the things that I thought was uncharacteristic of this song is there's sort of a call and response in this bridge where the way that Matt is singing, Matt Berninger of The National, the way he sings is one of the lines is not how he sings ever at all. Right, so I thought he was sort of like not knowing what to do. The song's good itself. It's also about sort of nostalgia and things that were lost. And I think like one of my favorite lines in this is the mall before the internet was the place to be.
Yeah, we had very differing opinions. This is the second worst track on this album.
Oh, you don't like it? You don't like it?
I think his singing flat out ruins the song.
Oh,
and
wow.
The
okay.
line, because we're like the mall before the internet, is awful.
Oh. It's so maybe bad. I'm just not wanting to admit that Matt is even the one of my heroes.
Maybe.
But he's not like a hero like Jeff Lewis is. Jeffrey's my boo. But,
because then he also, and then he sings the line something like, I made you a cake because it's your birthday, and like it was delivered so poorly.
There are some lines that I hear that feel awkward, but The National to me, I really like The National. I don't know if you've really explored The National that much. I don't know if you really.
I think I've listened to like one album a long time ago.
They'll come up at some point. I know they will. So get ready.
Well, I mean, I listened to this, and you said it's kind of like a National album anyway. So,
I think that Matt has a special way of delivering. So I saw The National play live just recently, and they were great. And they were great. They did play a Taylor Swift song. I couldn't tell you what it was because I was
interesting.
Yeah, and Taylor Swift shows up on their new record, like separate of just them showing up her record. She came and showed up on their shit. So good for him. Same with Bonhoeffer showed up on their record and showed up on a Taylor Swift record.
Interesting.
In fact, it was weird when I was leaving the National show. The National's new one, the National songs showed up on the radio as we were leaving. So
it's like they knew.
It's like they knew.
I think my biggest issue is his singing on it. Okay. I think the delivery's weird, but then also like his voice sounds like an old man and her voice sounds like a young woman. So it's giving kind of this weird relationship thing because it, you know, it feels kind of like a love song, but it's like dude singing like he's Tom Waits.
He's 52, so
I mean,
she's 33.
He is older, but it just it it gives off this vibe of like weird age gap, I guess.
It's what you have, is what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, let's move on to the next song. I like Coney Island. You obviously didn't. So let's move on to Ivy.
Ivy. That's one of the two that I was talking about. I really like this song.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's not bad. I think
this song is the. This is what I kind of expected these albums to sound like. It's got the folk instruments, the subdued production. It's about nature. It's got metaphors. It feels very kind of like organic. So the chorus leans a little poppy, but it's not. It's not one of those like song ruiner poppies.
So do you want me? I actually wrote my notes. Corny affair song.
A what?
A corny affair song.
Corny affair song.
Yeah, because the song itself, the lyrics are about this married woman who finds this man who she's really attracted to, mm-hmm. and it has an affair with him, kind of. And so
does she have a real affair or an emotional affair?
To me, are they really that different?
Well, I guess if they're both affairing each other, but like I don't know, if you see somebody and kind of like, you know,
what life would be like with them.
Yeah, it feels more like he's like stuck in her head, and I also just straight up didn't get the affair part out of this at all. You have like your roots in me. Like I can't stop thinking about you.
It's a mid tempo song though. I will say that it's definitely has more of a skeleton than a lot of these songs. Like it moves itself, you know, has propulsion. But again, I didn't hate this song, but I did write Corny Affair song, and I changed my mind on it like maybe about halfway through because I was writing notes as I was listening. But you know, it's not one of my favorite songs.
I'm going to read through the lyrics again. I didn't get a fair from it at all.
Okay. All right. That's fair. Yeah, you're like, so, me, I've just looked into it. You know? Me, I'm wrong. But, you know, things like Now I'm Covering You. It's a goddamn fight for my life, and you started it. But you, me, I'm wrong. You know? Like, me, you know what? Here's what I'll do. I'll call up Taylor Swift.
Yeah,
I'll ask her and to tell me did they fuck or what? That's what I'll do.
But then we get to Cowboy Like Me, which has the dark country vibe that No Body, No Crime should have had.
Right, and this would have been a fine country vibe with me. I really felt this like a national song but unadorned. Again, I'm gonna say that. This sounds a lot like a national song, mm-hmm. and to call it a country song is kind of. I guess it is, but not really.
Maybe I'm
not
the getting National's a country band, and you just won't admit it.
I'm pretty sure that's not the case, but dude, it's in a show. Like, I think High Violet, that record's in a show soon, and I think you'll change your mind on what you think they are. It's great, but
what's on the cover of that one?
High Violet. Fuck up. Why are you?
If it's the house with the window, that's the one I've listened
to. No, that's not it. That's Rest Beats. High Violet has it shows like a cat, like it looks like the top of a ruler with High Violet written coming off in all these different colors. Okay.
I know about that one too. You're
talking about Sleep Well Beast.
Yeah,
Sleep
that's the one I've listened to, and I was iffy Unimpressed. On it. From what I yeah, no wait, it, maybe I no, I listened to Boxer.
Oh, okay, Boxer. A lot of people love Boxer. It's not my favorite.
Okay. We'll find out. We're talking about Taylor Swift. We're not talking about
Nashville. Okay, sorry.
This has, I think the blending of the male vocals in this one is a lot better than it was on Coney Island.
Mm-hmm.
But this is one of those songs that I really thought, like, dang, she's kind of a slave to the hook. Like, she had to do something kind of sing-along-y in this, and I think it does kind of mess with the vibe a little bit.
So I do want to mention that the male voice in this is Marcus Mumford of Mumford & Sons.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, which He just showed up, I guess. Do you think that people were in this? Do you think they're like, hey, Mark, do you want to show up in this one? Or do you think that they're like, oh, we're having Mark Swofford come for this one, so deal with that. I don't know how that works.
I'm sure Taylor Swift has much more pull than somebody just being like, hey, somebody's going to come on your album, and her being not having any choice in it, you know?
I feel like there's some secret Hollywood handbook with a bunch of phone numbers in it, you know? Like, or, like, you know, like if Taylor Swift's like, give me a hold of, let's say, give me a hold of Jeffrey Lewis, not Jeffrey Lewis, I'm picking someone else. Give me a hold of Jay Masses of Dinosaur Jr. Someone could do that, I bet. And I don't, there's some sort of, you know, someone knows how to get a hold of Jay Masses, right? It's a weird pick, but I'm just picking someone.
You're just picking the first person that popped in.
Yeah, that has legendary status that everyone is. I mean, most people know Dinosaur Jr., but those one bands I haven't, it might have been like, you know, Disconnections episode. Dinosaur Jr., but I, you know, Jay Masses is, and I do, right? And I don't really fucking know their music that well, so I just feel like that maybe she, the was there in the studio, or she called up Marcus like, hey man, you want to be on the song? I think you'd really fit in, you know. So I'm sure there's someone out there that could tell me the story about how Marcus Mumford, but I don't think I'd really care how he showed up on it. But this song's do you like the song? Like
I thought it was pretty good. It's fine. Like, I think it definitely fits the vibe. Like, it's still, you know, kind of calling back to some of the country stuff, but
hustling for the good life.
Yeah,
you're a bandit like me. This song is sort of like it's kind of like I'm a bad boy, you know, a bad girl, and we've all together sort of thing. You know, go 40. It's 40. You know, dance is dangerous games or anything. But do you want to move on to the long story short?
Yeah, this is which one was this one? This one was the track I thought you were talking about when you said it sounds like an Olivia Rodrigo song.
Well, this is the one that I actually, when I read the Genius version of it, I'm like, yeah, that's totally fucking right. So this song is basically about being in the public eye, right? And having someone there that can keep you from the harm of it, or just having someone you can go to that will make you feel not as shitty, right? And if you follow what fucking Genius says, it's about that Kanye thing where you said, you know, where in which you went to, you know, accept their award, and Kanye went up stage. And was like, hey, you know, I'll let you finish, but, you know, we have to put out the best, you know, video or whatever. Which, I knew about that. I didn't watch the MTV Music Awards, but it was fucking all over the internet. And the president talked about it. Fucking Obama talked about it, which is weird.
I mean, it was a big cultural event. The president has to comment on it.
Yeah, and apparently he didn't come on time because someone recorded it without him really noting. He just called Kanye West a jackass, and I'm sure that pissed off Kanye so much. If you think anyone fall from grace more harder than he has recently?
No, Kanye? I don't think so.
Man, like, he said some shit, and like, for example, when he went on the Alex Jones show, he's like, "I like Hitler," and I'm like, "What in the fuck just happened?"
Like, oh yeah, like, it was insane.
Yeah, and then Alex Jones actually, surprisingly, the same person in this conversation, the same person is going to be like, well, you're talking about his fashion, you know? And he's like, no, I like Hitler. Like, he doubled down, was like, on his ideology. And you're like, okay, this is not going to end well for you, Kanye. Especially after you used DEFCON 5 on Jewish people. And it was weird because that's the least level of, like, I think even DEFCON 1, right? Like, that's, I don't know. Either way,
the DEF CONs.
But he made some tweet, and he's anti-Semitic all the way. And then he had Marilyn Manson come out during one of his concerts and just stand there. He didn't sing along. So Kanye is a piece of shit, guys. Even before all this, he was a piece of shit. Sorry to break it to you. And it would have been obvious when he tried to steal this woman from this beautiful woman, Taylor Swift. But I don't know. But I'm not saying she's beautiful or what I think about her, but I think this song is sort of about her being her public image and the things that have happened with that. You know, I can't imagine what it's be like to be publicly lifted up or ridiculed by complete fucking strangers who know nothing about you.
Yeah.
And that's what the song is about. So I do like the long story short, honestly. It's a good song. It's
I wanted to run something past you. You might have to listen to it again after I say it. Okay. But did this song kind of sound like a pop punk song with the wrong instruments?
It did. I'm with you on that. 100%.
If they made the drums live and the synth mm-hmm. chords turned into a guitar, it's a Paramore song.
Yeah. That's you're fucking right, dude. And like listening in my head here now, and yeah, dude, right away. You're all about this. Yeah, that's a good way to put it, dude. Damn. Fuck, dude. I might have to listen to it again just so I can. I think, you know, here's what you and I should do. We should record this and send it to Taylor Swift and see if she'll be like, this is an amazing version of my song. I may have to call Aaron Dessner too. But yeah, I do like, long story short, and you sing it's a pop punk song, but not a pop punk song. That's a fucking good way to put it. Fuck.
Yeah, I was listening to it. And I was like, man, this sounds like something.
Do you want to move on to Marjorie?
Yeah. This one started off with like some like really like quickly looped synths,
mm-hmm.
Which reminded me of this composer Steve Reich. He does this like pulses thing.
Okay.
I'm hoping he'll come up at some point because he has some really cool albums. But yeah, then it kind of touches on the fall spooky vibes a little bit, where it like almost hints or kind of like starts to imply that this person's like a ghost, but really it's kind of about like memories and they're, you know, this person's kind of still watching over them, and
apparently comfort in memories. Her grandmother's name is Marjorie. She's an opera singer.
Oh,
and this is about her. It's about her grandma, which is nice.
Yeah, that is nice.
You know, I've heard songs about dead grandparents for, like Modern Baseball, the first song on I forget what record, but half the songs about the guy's grandfather. You know,
mm-hmm.
And it's a. I mean, honestly, to be honest, the songs on there are better than the ones on this one. But because I love Modern Baseball, not the sport, but the band. Marjorie, it's a song about your grandmother, and that's nice, you know, to talk about your family that you love.
Mm-hmm.
You
know? This one has the fall vibe, like I was mentioning.
It definitely does. When you're considering about that, yeah.
The album is kind of going for that. One thing I really appreciate about this song is it avoids the song ruining hook. Like, I think it very much keeps the emotions like consistent and kind of in check. Like, she's singing about something, you know, serious and important to her, and it sounds like it's important. Yeah.
One of the things that I also really appreciate about the vocals, they didn't sound processed at all.
No, uh-uh.
I'm sure every artist had a prize of vocal process, but these sounded like she can actually sing this, you know? And I can't say the same about the new Blink-182 songs, but I can say that.
I haven't even listened to them.
Dude, it sounds like they're singing straight through a fucking autotune. It's ridiculous. I'm going to be interested when the record comes out to see what people think about it, but again, I'm not going to buy it. I might listen to it. I'm not going to buy it. It's just they've been gone for so long, and they were such a part of my childhood that to see them come back after 20 years and see if they crush it with Tom Longley again, I don't know. But again, sorry. She seems like her vocals, this whole thing, are pretty good, and they don't sound like they're forced. They don't sound like she's. And that's one of the things about Taylor Swift that I think that no one. She's a fine singer. But people listen to her for her songs, not her sing.
Yeah.
I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And that's the truth about her. She's she's fine. She's a good singer. I like her. She's a pretty voice, but I don't think that's why people listen to her. It's not like listening to Christina Aguilera showboat or do like all this shit. She just sings songs that are most of the time pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, I see. I mean, that.
So that's how I feel about Taylor Swift and her and Leah. I told this to Leah because I was, whenever I do this record, I always sort of, I'll talk to her. She didn't talk back about it. She didn't really reply.
But it's me giving
my talk at her, so I can get my thoughts together about it. Mm-hmm. And even then, they're still pretty all over the place. But
yeah, I got to report back to my wife about Taylor Swift because she doesn't listen to Taylor Swift, but she was curious if I liked any of it and if she should listen.
Okay, what do you think? What are you going to tell her to do?
I'll tell her to check out this album, I think.
Okay, at least. Do you want me to go to Closure?
Yeah.
It has a weird industrial drums that show up in it.
Very, like, attention-grabbing, glitchy, loud drums.
And then they come down, but they every time there's sort of a lull in the music, you hear it come up and mix a bit, you know? And I like that, actually. I like Closure quite.
It's a very weird track.
There's
a lot of kind of, like, fading in and out of drums, and it's like almost like they start to crescendo and then cut off before there's any sort of like release.
It's a strange song for sure. This song's about a shitty friend, and this genius actually has a speculation in who the shitty friend she's talking about is. And the song, it's apparently the shitty friend is someone named a model named Carly Kloss. I've never heard of her.
I've never heard of that person.
But apparently, she has spent a lot with hung out with the extended Kushner family, Jared Kushner, you know, the wife or the husband of it. Yeah, and Scooter Braun, whoever that is. But this is apparently
Scoot.
This is songs about having a shitty friend who, and I don't. It sounds a lot like drama to me, and I don't really. I don't think you and I really give a fuck about drama. Yeah.
This is another song that had annoying vocal delivery during the chorus when she kind of puts on like an accent.
Like a British accent, right?
Yeah, like, yes, I got better. Yes, I got your letter. Yes, I'm doing better. It cut deep to know ya. What's going on with that?
Is that what Carly Kloss sounds like? I don't know, man. Like I was like, what's going on here? Because the only people that I know the fake British accents are shitty punk bands. But or the worst songs by fucking MXPX, where he puts on a fake British accent. So I don't know what's going on. So that was strange to me. And I was like, what's going on? Is that her? Like, but yeah, she was doing some weird English accent. And I didn't really think about it. I meant to write that down, but I can be honest, the last hour and a half of my day was fucking insane. But that has nothing to do with it. It was just so busy. But yeah, man, what the fuck like was up with that British accent she was putting on?
It was so weird. Anyway, let's wrap this album up with the track Evermore with Bon Iver, the titular track.
Titular track.
The best song on the album.
Is it because Bon Iver's in it?
No. I think it does some cool things. It originally starts off thinking it's kind of like a piano ballad, and as a piano ballad, it's pretty good. Mm-hmm. But then you start to kind of get like whispers of other instruments in the back.
Yeah.
And then right at the midpoint, just boom. The tempo change, key change, vocalist change. Like, the song is a piano ballad with like a different song wedged in the middle,
and it changes to something kind of like really sad to sort of hopeful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it comes out with a uplifting sort of idea where you know that you're going to get through this. You know, like you're feeling shitty now, but there is the, like it says, the pain wouldn't be forevermore. You know, so and we all need some sort of, I think you and I, but all everyone needs sort of the idea that it's going to get better, whether it does or doesn't, I guess, personal. But this song, I really like when Justin Vernon comes in. I really think that elevates the song to a whole other level that he's needed for, I think.
And I think it matches with the vibe of the album. You've got lyrics about, you know, like floors of a cabin creaking, you know, catching your death, looking out a window, you know, evermore. Just yeah, like that word. Yeah. It sounds very, it sounds a lot like Nevermore. But yeah, this was definitely my favorite track on here.
Oh, okay. So that's interesting. My favorite track on here is still the second record, the second song, Champagne Problem. But that's just because I'm a huge Olivia Rodrigo fan, apparently.
You just want to hear Driver's License and all of its different versions.
Yeah, I'm gonna go. Have you heard? Yeah, I showed you one of her new songs. Because it has a weird guitar solo in it.
Yeah, and Amara liked it too, so I listened to her, listen to it.
So Queens of the Stone Age, you said that it's not like Queens of the Stone Age solo. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I guess you're right. Are you a Queens fan though? Are you?
I love Queens of the Stone Age.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you know, a lot of people that I know that wouldn't think you listen to Queens of the Stone Age, fucking love Queens of the Stone Age, and I gotta be honest, I'm only familiar with that one record they did where it has a No One Knows or whatever that song is.
Oh yeah, that's not even in like my top three of their records.
Probably people kind of think that record's kind of shaky compared to other stuff. So maybe I should dive into Queens of the Stone Age more.
I think so. Yeah. Most people actually think that album, Songs for the Deaf, is their best one, but I don't.
Okay. Yeah.
I think they have a lot more interesting stuff out there.
When I feel like I have time to get into it, I'll text you and tell me where to start.
I'm sure I'll pick one of their albums, I'm sure.
Okay. It'll be the weirdest one, too. Mm-hmm. But Evermore by Taylor Swift, something I ended up kind of saying I'm on the like side of, you know?
Yeah, one of those, like, I might not fully get it, or, you know, get the whole Taylor Swift thing. But I still think it's good.
Yeah. So yeah, you said let's talk about my record.
Yeah.
Then talk about Evermore. So I brought Lil Peep, the late Lil Peep's record, Call Me When You're Sober, or Come Over When You're Sober Part 1. If you guys know who Lil Peep is, he's sort of like the progenitor, or like I guess the first emo rapper. I guess like. Like, he's mumble rap, if you want to go into that, you know, sort of mumble rap, which you think, hey, Chris is into mumbling, but I'm not. And he was a emo rap, sort of SoundCloud rap sort of guy, and he helped pioneer, like, emo rap, right? Mm-hmm. And people want to, and he's part of this group called the Goth Boy Click, a rap collective of a bunch of people. And I don't know about you, but I don't know if you noticed that emo rappers or emo rap dudes, they're all, or, you know, SoundCloud rap dudes, that's the thing to where I think it's like a uniform where you have to have a crazy colored hair and a tattoo on your face.
Mm-hmm. You know? Requirement.
It's a requirement. And so I have things to say about it, but I want to listen to it and I'll talk more about Lil Peep because I have a little thing I've written on it.
Cool.
So,
let's hear it.
This is Lil Peep's Come Over When You're Sober Part 1.
Goth Boy Click. Go Lil Peep with a brand new bitch. Back of the club with the Goth Boy Click. Iced out teeth when I iced out whip. With the limousine chance you can sell my dick. Press switch up when you in the bench truck. All my life can't say that girl. Don't tell me you can say that shit. All she want is payback for the way I always play that shit. You ain't getting nothing that I'm saying, don't tell me you is. Nothing like them other motherfuckers, I can make. Time and pain, I don't even want to. So I'm
Okay, so real quick, I want to mention to people that Little Peep is dead, and he's died drug overdose in 2017 on tour bus in Tucson. He died of fentanyl overdose, and everyone knows how shitty fentanyl is. I know people that have died of this drug, so it's awful. Mm-hmm. But I can tell you that I hate Little Peep.
I gotta say, for sure.
With
this album, you picking this album, you've achieved two things.
Uh-huh.
One, you finally made me feel old.
Yeah.
Like, me sitting there going, like, I do not fucking get new music. Two, you've now picked the worst thing we've ever had on the show.
When I hear the term emo rap, I'm like, okay, well, I'm old because I think Cap'n Jazz, I think The Promise Ring, right? But apparently, it's not that. This is not that. So, emo rappers, they have some sort of uniform, like I was mentioning earlier. Mm-hmm. The whole song emo rap scene is, they confuse me, because it's like, they have goofy hair, face tattoos, and a strong social media presence, espousing drugs, bitches, and bling, and, oh, I also have suicidal ideation, because it's weird because this record goes back and forth between I feel so shitty, this girl doesn't want me, I'm gonna do drugs to drown that out, or look at me, how cool I'm doing drugs because that's cool for me, you know, like it's, and I don't know, some people have glommed on this and really love it, and I don't know how.
I don't
understand it. And they're calling it, like, pop punk. I guess I kind of hear it. I didn't at first, but after four times of hearing this thing, I hear it now.
I think I it hear bothers it the shit the, out of me.
Weird.
You know,
so the
this
voice.
Girl doesn't like me kind of thing, and maybe in his singing voice, but not really in anything else.
There's, like, chorus guitars and this, and, like, drum bass, bass drumming, but I can tell you can hear it a lot in the vocal delivering on a few songs, which we'll talk about. There's seven songs on this thing. I'm glad we didn't listen to the mixtape, because I can't imagine more of this.
Yeah, so I do have one positive thing to say about this album, and it's that it's mercifully short.
Oh, yeah.
It is only 20 minutes long, and that's the best thing about it.
How many times did you listen to it?
Too many? I don't know.
I gotta say, man, and I hate it because there's some things I can sing along with, and I hate myself for it. Not because I like it, but there's hooks on this thing. Lots of them. And it's... And Little Peep... I call him Little because I'm old. It's Little Peep, and he died at the age of 21, and he is... I think his death precipitated the genre sort of falling out of favor with people, but he was loved. Loved by a lot of people. No one I know.
No one I know either. Probably all people younger than me.
Yeah, but he was something. And it's weird. It's weird that this became so popular. And maybe it still is. People were, decrying the death of X Nation. And if he has no X Nation, He was a emo SoundCloud rapper. He beat his girlfriend, so fuck him. I don't give a fuck that he died. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
He got shot and killed, and now he's dead. But he beat everyone he was with. As far as I'm concerned, if you beat your partner and they can't defend themselves, I'm not sad you're gone.
Yeah. Amen.
Sorry. So, but again, these SoundCloud rappers, this is just a little peep. They really glorify like drugs and shit, which is what we'll get into. Lil Peep also was part of the
Golf Boy Club,
which is a collective of rappers who, you know, they are part of this. They've put out one mixtape and one single, so no real records. Mixtape is a real record, mm-hmm. but it's just a collection of people, and they only mentioned
Golf Boy Club.
Only a few times in this thing, but he made a big deal that it was like, oh, he'll hook up some of the songs on here. I cut that out just because I thought that was funny. And also,
play it again.
There's
Golf Boy Club.
You want to let's go on this. Come over when you start part two, and we'll talk a little bit more afterwards about it. Lil Peep. So, starting with the first song, Ben's Truck.
Ben's Truck, parentheses, I think it says remix.
It's Russian for something else. I didn't care to see what else it was. So this was my first exposure to Lil Peep.
Same.
I managed to avoid him all this time. And I didn't make a good choice by staying with it, but so Ben's Truck is a song. It starts out talking about it's a song basically showing look how rich I am, what little shit I got, right? This song isn't really what I thought it would be about, right? Mm-hmm. Because
okay, so that word, emo rap, it looks like remix, but it actually is Gaelic. Which is like G-Wagon. It's a type of Mercedes-Benz truck, I guess.
Cool.
There you go.
There's a line that says, always friends switch up when you're in Benz truck. Skirt! They do that noise.
Yep, I wrote that down. I was like, oh my god.
Yeah.
He sounds half asleep during the thing. Like, somebody woke up and like, oh, you gotta do your thing.
It's a mumble rap thing. So, like, that's a thing, apparently. But this song is... Always want to fuck a bitch. Always want to fuck tell a bitch good luck. Always want to fuck because I just came up. Drugs in my nose, good drugs in my cup.
Yep.
I don't want to sound like
that three or four times, and that's your whole song.
I don't want to sound like Ben Shapiro and say I don't get it, but I don't. I don't get why people like this shit. It's awful.
It was like I tried to write good things. When they came up, like I think adding kind of like the rock instrumentation, and it does kind of have like a grunge vibe to it at times.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like you get this kind of like interesting sonic soundscape, but just the most uninteresting, tropey, lazy lyrics I think I've heard, maybe not ever, but in a very, very long time.
So we talked about that Lil Wayne record.
Mm-hmm.
This is not better than that. This is worse than that.
Yeah.
And the only thing the only thing that Lil Wayne has going for it is that song with Eminem in it.
Mm-hmm.
That says a lot about this. Now, like, I can understand Lewis coming down here liking this, or TikTok liking this, or some other shit liking this. It's just so far removed from what I. This is not what I get. Like, when I heard emo rap, the only part I felt that is emo, and this is very lightly emo. Very lightly emo.
Yeah. Because I think it's, I don't know, just kind of going like, I'm sad.
Yeah,
I just don't think that should qualify it as emo.
Yeah, and there's some girl shit in here, and like, everyone has girl shit, but emo. But again, it's more of like, yeah, I feel sad. Let me go get fucked up. And I'm like, like, you know, and maybe we would have got more if we listened to that 44-minute mixtape. But if it's anything like this, I don't think I would. I think I would have changed it.
Yeah, I strongly doubt it. But I think you should save that shit.
So which is the next... The name of the fucking song is Save That Shit. And this is a song about telling a girl that, hey, I can make you rich if you're with me. Which, sadly, that didn't happen, right?
Right, but then also it's just like, that's literally all you have to offer?
Yeah, is making rich. It was also kind of a boring song, but it's also hooky at the same time.
Yeah, like, so this was kind of a problem I had with the whole thing, was like he would only write one set of lyrics and then just keep repeating them until he filled up like a normal length of a song. And it's just like, I didn't need to hear these three times.
Yeah, dude, it's like, we usually, the best rappers, like we talked about the last episode, we talked about rap, early hip hop, and our hip hop artists that we talked about had much more interesting things to say than this. Mm-hmm. And they actually wrote lyrics that weren't just repeated fucking over and over again. It's the most lazy shit I can think of is this stuff.
I think that's my problem with it too, is like it feels really lazy. Like at no point was there any like real effort put into it. Like
maybe that's the sort of thing that people like about it too. Yeah.
It's not cool to try. I don't know.
But this, I'm sorry I made you pick this. I picked this one. but you both didn't know what we're getting into, right?
Right, like, we're out of our element. This is the point. Yeah. We're trying to listen to everything. This song gave me, I cannot remember the name of the band. It's either Everclear or Everlast. but they do that like "What It's Like" song, and then you're.
Oh yeah, that's Everclear. That's Everclear.
Okay, this song gave me Everclear.
Sorry, that's Everlast. I'm sorry, Everclear is that band. So, Father of Mine. No, okay, Everlast is the one.
This gave me Everlast vibes. Did you know that Everlast dude was in House of Pain?
Crazy. Yeah, yeah, dude, jump around. I knew that. I've known that for years, I think, but. Yeah, this is a little bit of trivia you guys didn't know. The guy is from Everlast. I don't
know what it's like. What
do you hate that song?
I don't know. I think I remember I used to really like it, but I haven't listened to it in a long time.
I know how to play a guitar.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's D with a note where you put the key on the... Whatever. I can teach you only. I probably don't want to know it, but it's fucking easy. It's as easy as Hurt is by... The Johnny Cash version.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, yeah, this song, Save That Shit, I don't want to save it.
No.
In fact, it can leave my brain forever. I could have been listening to Jeff Rosenstocker or Sufjan again. But no, I had some of my time listening to Lil Peep, and I'm sorry, dude. I'm sure you can listen to other stuff too.
That's okay. I forgive you. This is the risk we take having a show like this,
right? Maybe we'll get it. Like our next topic will be something that. I'm sorry, guys. I know if you like Lil Peep, I'm sorry that we're talking shit on something that maybe meant a lot to you, but we hated this.
Yeah, it was. So I'm bad. Sorry.
Yeah, but someone does awful things, which is an awful song,
right? This is one of them.
Yeah.
I do think, like, I really like the use of guitar on this, because I do think it gives it more of kind of like that bedroom made.
It gives it more body. I think it has body to it. It adds something else to it. But it has a guest vocalist on this. This is what made me think, first off, is that it sounded like a Mark Hoppus type person to Lil Peep. Like Lil Tracy came in. I'm like, that's the. It would say that we could say that Lil Peep is Tom DeLonge and Lil Tracy is the Mark Hoppus deck, because he mumbles a little bit less, and he does mention
Goth Boy
a little bit, but But
it was interesting this song you mentioned like Blink 182, because I thought this kind of had like a pop punk.
Oh yeah, this is the first time I actually noticed it.
Mm-hmm.
The pop punk thing, because he also talking about this is about a girl who tells him awful things. I don't know if you knew that the name of the song, but
this song on this album is the one that gets stuck in my head all the time.
Oh yeah, awful thing. Yeah, it sucks because there are hooks in this, but they're not good hooks. They're just there, and that's what radio's perfected. They've perfected shitty songs with a thing that gets out in your head, and they mix up good music with hooks, and they think they're related, and they're not at all in the least bit.
Yeah,
and this is proof of that.
Yeah, man, there's like lyrics on this that it's like it seems like he can't stay focused on a thought. Like he wants to say things, and he's just saying like random stuff, like tell me awful things, put that thing up on me. It's like, how are those related? That's the same line.
I love it when you do that. Let me get through this without you. Well, do what?
Mm-hmm. You know? It's like, I don't know what you're talking about. You're always switching subjects.
I'd say
your lyrics aren't complicated. How are you getting lost in what you're saying?
And I honestly think that Lil Tracy's lyrics make a little bit more sense. Mm-hmm. Take off your favorite dress, lay your head on my chest. Dive into rooms and gyms, you can have all of them. But again, this song, it exists, and I don't fucking know why. Like, it's so inconsequential. This thing is so inconsequential. I want to tell you a quick story. My brother, he went and saw Tombs.
Mm-hmm.
Or some other heavy metal band, and they were playing the Smart Room. And Matt was walking outside, and there's this giant line out of the big room. And I was like, who's this giant line for? And they're like, oh, Lil Peep. 2 days later, Lil Peep died on his tour bus on his way to Tucson. And, or rather, actually saw, was in Texas at the time. So, Matt, literally first heard Lil Peep 2 days before he died, and as Lil Peep died, of course, a lot of people went out and streamed this because people talked about Lil Peep, and I don't fucking get Lil Peep. This record, this is the only studio record. The other one's a mixtape, so I'm sorry, guys. I'm not going to be listening to that tomorrow.
Yeah, I don't think I will either.
And maybe the mixtape's actually pretty good. Maybe we don't know, right?
Yeah, maybe if we just don't know. Like, maybe we just picked a bad one. Like,
yeah, maybe,
reach out and tell us. I didn't look up the Lil Peep album rankings.
But Awful Things is an awful song.
Yeah, there's a moment in Awful Things where it sounds like the music slightly missed its cue.
Oh,
and
they just never
fixed it.
Yeah, they just kept it in there because, you know, they're lazy, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, according to Genius, this is the song that broke the friendship between Lil Peep and Lil Tracy. It since revealed how Tracy was the song, but it was only featured for some seconds in the music video.
Weird.
So, yeah. So, let's move on to the next song.
You said. This one, I thought, kind of had, like, goth rock instrumentation on it.
Yeah, so this song is about how doing drugs makes you like this person. His heart hurts, but he fucked up. And it has, like, two parts to it. And this is the second verse to me, of the second part of this, is where I hear the emo pop-punk voice. Like, even, like, he tries to sing a little bit. But
Oh, yeah, it goes pop-punk pretty hard.
And this song does contain references to self-harm and depression and drug abuse. And this is where people are like, okay, self-harm. I don't remember self-harm being part of Captain Jazz's music.
Mm-mm.
Maybe it was. Or part of the Rama String. I guess maybe Hawthorne Heights talked about it a little bit. I don't know. But I'm old, so I think emo is Captain Jazz. I think emo is
American football.
Yeah. And this is not that at all. Not even close. do you like American football, by the way?
I love American football.
Yeah, you know, I had a friend who's really into him, and I don't live that far. I don't live, and I live far away from Chicago, but he was thinking about going to the American Football House just to take a picture in front of it.
I mean, it's a it's owned by their that record label now,
which is kind of cool, right?
Yeah, so they can preserve it, and then you don't have to feel weird about going there and taking pictures, like you're taking pictures of someone's house.
Yeah. So the song is about popping pills and thinking about this girl that he wants.
Right. And, don't worry, so are the rest of the songs.
Yeah, yeah. And he talks about how he maybe hurt her and how he feels bad for hurting her, and she came back and did shit to hurt him. And the way he thinks about it is, I'm getting high all week without you, popping pills thinking about you. Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
If you say so.
If you say so, Will Peep.
There.
Yeah.
The song, to say something nice about it, when it like kind of like slows down and gets all echoey and like falls apart a little bit, I think that's kind of a cool change up. It's not. It's one of those songs that's not just the same thing all the way through.
It does have a second basic part of the song, where to me it sounds like the most interesting part of the song, but it sounds like pop punk, like the way he's doing the vocals, because he's kind of singing it. Like he goes loose between four or five notes at some point.
Yeah.
But
yeah. So to dive into the, I guess the emo rap thing just a little bit more, like it's another like kind of frustrating thing to listen to. Because like it feels like he never like meaningfully dives into his emotions. Like it all feels very surface level.
Yeah, so I get fucked up. It feels
unfair to like, I guess, throw that at this. Because he's just going like, yeah, man, I'm sad. Yeah, I'm, you know. It's like, I guess, but you're not.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't believe that you actually feel it. I feel like you're just saying it to say it.
And he says, and then I do drugs. And you're like, okay, I get it. Like, you do lots of drugs. That's cool, man. Like, and then he says, well, I do all these drugs because of the abuse I've been through. I'm like, okay. I don't know if maybe like 10 years from now, and we're in some sort of public space. They're like, so if you believe it, Chris Owen, or you can take my last name if you want, but I don't care. He talked of a dead musician, Little Peep. Little Peep, he was depressed and sad, and he talked ill of him. And I'm going to say right now, I'm talking ill of his music. I know nothing about Little Peep as a person. Little Peep, I don't know. So, and I just don't like his music. And I think it's pretty awful. I'm sorry. but sometimes life is fucked up, and that's why we get fucked up. That's what he says. That's in the song. And maybe that's true. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's true, but that doesn't make this a good song.
Exactly.
And that doesn't make it emo in the least bit at all. We only went to Better Off Dying.
Yep.
Better Off Parentheses Dying.
What to say? I think the sonic scape that he's building is kind of interesting. It's kind of like warped. The keyboard's like warped and kind of phasing in and out. And it sounds cool. And then the beat comes in, and I think the beat kind of ruins it.
So there is something, a little bit of a trivia based on this. So the chorus goes, chains on shining, you see me riding, cocaine lined up, secrets that I'm hiding. So one of the secrets that he had that he revealed in personal to me on social media is that he's bisexual, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is, hey, lots of people are. It's cool. I'm glad that you were able to tell your friends this and they stick by you. That's something that's nice, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it starts out with cocaine lined up. So right there, I'm like, what did that have to do with you coming out?
You know? Exactly.
So
he can't stay focused on what he's talking about.
Exactly. So this also song is flexing, like chains on shining, you can see me riding and clicking. Like, he's like flexing on the shit he's doing, which to me is, I can't stand that sort of thing.
Mm-mm.
When you're trying to, you know. But he also says stuff like, "We ain't gonna make it." And then I love it when you fake, yeah. I don't know, man. Like, You Don't Want to Cry Now. He talks about crying. And I don't, like you said, there's not much to say about the song because it's not really a point going on in this. It's really aimless.
I don't know. There's just not much variety in the singing either. It's really monotonous.
It's a really nothing song. A lot of these songs are here with nothing. And they shouldn't really be in real. I mean, I'm sorry, guys. I can't find a good reason for any of this to exist. You know?
Yeah.
It's pretty fucking awful. It's dog shit, I will say that. It's one of the bright side. Which apparently
maybe the best track on here.
If you had to pick a track that was good.
Yeah, it feels like a new metal ballad. Like it feels like something that'd be on a Limp Bizkit record.
By the way, when it comes to the bright side, apparently he was using the Killers version of Bright Side, because you can kind of hear that it's about sort of memories, that the Mr. Bright Side, the song will be on the Rio until we die.
probably.
Yeah, it's a classic song, right? Like, have you seen that video of the drummer, the drummer for Red Hot Chili Peppers, doing the version? He listened to a song without the drums. He does his own drums to it, and
I've seen some of those videos. I haven't seen that one specifically, though.
The drummer for Megadeth does it for Mr. Brightside.
Oh, interesting.
He says he's never heard that song, which sounds unbelievable to me.
I think I saw one that was somebody playing a Mastodon song for the, hearing it without drums and trying to play it.
The Red Hot Chili Peppers drummer, Chad Smith, he did it for The Kill by 30 Seconds to Mars.
Hmm.
Which honestly, and by the way, the one that the guy did for Megadeth, the Megadeth did for Mr. Brightside, I think I prefer his version.
Really?
Yeah, it's like he breaks it down or something. And then afterwards he listens to it afterwards. But that Megadeth drummer is amazing.
Yeah.
like
there's some good musicians in Megadeth. Not very many good people, but good musicians.
See what you said about Megadeth and their personality? They're fucking top notch when it comes to musicianship.
Mm-hmm.
Holy shit. But you know who's not a good musician? Lil Peep.
Yep. Another issue I had kind of throughout this album is that you can feel him trying to be cool.
Mm-hmm.
So in this song, he's slow singing about love, but he's still throwing in things to make himself sound cool.
Yeah, and there's also he also does this thing where he talks about wanting a girl and then doing drugs again.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm getting high tonight again. I'll get, dude, what the fuck? Like I get it. You do drugs and you like girls. I get it, dude. Yeah, but I'm not fucking around. I'm not fucking with people who do drugs. Lots of people do drugs, and some people get away with it. Mm-hmm. Not get away with it. Some people get joy out of it, and that's fine.
And for some people, it's a problem.
It was probably a problem for him. Hence his untimely death at the age of 21, which is sad.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not surprised, man. I'm not.
Yeah, I feel like that was part of the... I don't know if it was part of the appeal, but it was part of why I never ended up exploring this genre, is it felt like a lot of people kind of celebrating people, destroying themselves.
Yeah, and that's sad.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people are kind of complicit in these people's deaths.
Because you may not be the one rolling under these club lights like he was on ecstasy, but maybe a lot of people related to it, but I didn't, man. The reason I related to it is because I felt the weight of the world when I was a teenager, you know? Mm-hmm. That's what brought me to emo, but this isn't what emo was to me. And me, I'm an old guy, but there's no way for me to connect to it, you know? This is not what emo did to me.
Yeah,
but it's what did the Lil Peep, and I don't know, man. I don't. By the way, I don't know anyone who's a fan of Lil Peep. Maybe it's because I'm too old and I don't, or maybe because I haven't talked to my friends enough about Lil Peep. But I'm gonna ask people. I'm talking to hang out with some friends this weekend, and I'm just gonna say, Lil Peep, let's have a 30-second conversation about him. And most of them will probably be like, I don't know who that is. But we do now, and I don't think we're better off for it.
I don't think so either.
It's on the last track of this record.
Let's finish this up. Yeah, another track about remembering a bad relationship.
Yeah, problems.
It's got a very 2000s guitar tone on it.
Yeah, very 2000s. And this is a song where I feel the most, like this is the most I feel I can sort of relate to Lil Peep when it comes to spending a lot of time in the background, right? Like, you know, I spent a lot of my time in high school just trying not to be there. Not like, trying not to be noticed, which is not impossible. But, like, this song, it talks about being with a girl. Every time we're together, we buy black. Every time we're together, she tap out, which I don't know what it means. But the only line I like in the song, and it sounds cool, is the first time I said I made a deal with the devil. He says that there was that some way that I really like. But again, it's a mumble rap. And you're right. Yeah, so you're like, I don't even know. This song talks a little bit, probably references suicide a little bit. When he talks about the hold on my revolver.
Yeah.
But that's about it. But this song, like you said, it doesn't really have a narrative. Like, nothing connects, you know?
Yeah, you kind of feel like you're getting, like, glimpses of something. But
yeah.
That's really about it.
It's I don't, and maybe you and I, we just don't kind of get it, you know, and maybe we're out of touch, and maybe someone could email us, the old way to do things.
Yell at us,
say, you don't know what you're fucking talking about. Lil Peep is a master. Go listen to Hellboy. And I'll probably be like, yeah, we got this at the list too, pal.
Yeah.
Sorry.
But, like, I mean, you're not wrong. If somebody says something like, you don't know what you're talking about, it's like, that's true.
Yeah, that's true.
We don't. I mean, this is all opinions and speculation and, you know, a little... Sometimes we'll look stuff up, but...
And there's some people that are like, you're so shitty that you critique someone's art. Well, that's kind of the show. You know what I mean?
What else are you supposed to do with art?
Yeah, you're supposed to... Say what I mean. She was like, well, you have a nice day, you didn't say anything at all. Well, we're talking shit on Lil Peep. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing. We already recorded this. It's going out. Sorry, man. But that's Lil Peep, man. I don't see myself revisiting this unless, not even for fun, not even to make fun of it. I can't see myself doing that.
Because it's not even a fun kind of bad. It's like a boring bad.
It's a boring bad. And I'm not going to be... the only time I ever talk about this with people is to talk shit about it.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's Lil Peep's Come Over When You Serve Part 1.
The worst thing I've listened to.
Yeah, probably. I mean, I guess that Beatles thing is worth it because it exists and it's such a weird thing to happen.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that one.
Yeah. That one's
pretty bad. That one's funny bad.
It does have interesting modes to it, too.
It's definitely a... So, I think it's kind of like a so bad it's good. It's an experience.
Yeah,
it's something. It's important.
Yeah. I think you're with me on that.
I'll take...
But, yeah.
I will say it's probably second worst, though.
Okay, I'll give you that. It's been too long we've been together, and I can't wait to do this again, honestly.
I know.
And sorry, guys, we've been kind of pretty long between episodes. But I hope now that you and I both settle into our times that we can get back to doing it more regularly.
Yeah, I hope so.
But, you know, I've had things go on. You've had things go on. And it's... stalling because I'm trying to pull the randomizer. But that was our episode on Out of Our Wheelhouse.
And, yes. Out of Our Element. Taylor Swift, and Lil Peep.
Out of Our Element. And I don't really see us... this is a repeater because there's plenty of other things we... Our Element, but it won't be here for a while before we repeat it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm ready. Are you ready to see our next theme?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Okay, here we go. Randomizing and new lead singer.
New lead singer, okay.
So we pick a band that changed lead singers and the best record, I guess.
Yeah, or it could be for better or for worse. You don't have to pick a good album. It just has to have a new lead singer.
I definitely have one in mind, and it's a good record.
Cool. I don't know. I think I had one in mind when I suggested this, and then since forgotten what I thought it would be.
I think you did. You did suggest this topic.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah,
because sometimes I just text you because it'll like pop into my head and like, oh, this one.
Yeah. Oh, let's do this. Yeah. But yeah, a new lead singer. I got one in my head. It's gonna be great.
Sweet.
What's got going on, pal?
Me and my friend do the music for this podcast. We're in a band called
The Good
Smell.
Music. The intro and the outro, not the music put in the middle.
No, we do all of it. We have done every song we've ever listened to. And yeah, you can find us on Bandcamp at smell.bandcamp.com. We live in the same city now, so hopefully we'll be putting out more music soon, because it's been too long. But yeah, check us out. We'll be on there.
Don't you love a Bandcamp? Like, you can sort of be like for example, I have music, Christy Owen, Bandcamp.com. They have that easy website. If someone wants to hear, you can just say your band name.bandcamp.com, and it's there. It's so easy. It's
so nice.
A lot of people think Bandcamp replaced MySpace Music back when that disappeared.
Oh, yeah. You know? I think you're right. Yeah, that was just like MySpace / your band name.
Yeah, and then you put songs in there, but you're like, I'm sad it's disappearing because it's hard to find music. I'm like, Bandcamp's way better.
Yeah.
Way better.
What do you got going on?
I got a podcast, another one, called Movies Don't Suck and Something New. We put out a new podcast every week, and it's movies that are generally recent. I'm not going to say when most of the last one we did, because this is going to come out weeks and weeks from when we record it. But yeah, we do.
Depends on when we edit and release.
Yeah, I'm so lazy about it. But it's two movies a week, and it's another one I do. And I think I'm a little bit more subdued in that one, honestly. But yeah, that's Movies Don't Suck and Something. You can find that where you find podcasts, including this one. We're everywhere. So
We're all over. You can't avoid us.
Are you good, man? Are you ready to get out of here?
I'm ready to get out of here. I'm ready to go look up some bands that got a new lead singer.
All right, guys. We'll see you guys next time on Record Night.